Welcome to the Property Management Mastermind Show with your host, Brad Larson. Brad owns one of the fastest growing property management companies in San Antonio, Texas. This podcast is for property managers by property managers. You'll hear from industry leading professionals on best practices, new ideas, success stories, and lessons learned. This is your opportunity to learn about the latest industry buzz surrounding property management, as well as tips and strategies to improve your business. Now here's your host, Brad Larson.
To see a complete list of the offered discounts for products and services, visit my website at propertymanagementmastermind.com. These offers include discounts from the PM Growth Summit, website production through Property Manager's website, discounts on showing services from Tenant Turner, and many more coming all the time. Be sure to use the discount code Brad, B-R-A-D. Check it out. Hello, everyone. In today's episode, I have Mike Michalowicz here, and he wrote and authored the book Profit First. And Mike's just got a fascinating story of how he started creating this concept. Basically, he took old concepts, put it together, and created the concept through 5 to 6 business books and speaking opportunities called Profit First. So we're implementing this now in our business. I think it's really interesting to hear this interview with Mike. So definitely he's one of the highest ranked type of guests we've had on the show. And it's a pleasure to have him on. So I think you're going to enjoy this episode. So let's have a listen. And welcome to another edition of the Property Management Mastermind Show. I'm Brad Larson, your host. And today's guest, we have Mike Michalowicz from Profit First. And to give you a little bit of an intro, I've been listening to Mike's stuff. I've looked through and read a lot of his books. Of course, you guys know I'm a big audio fan, audiobooks, but I'm super excited to have this guy on. He is an all-star guest, probably one of the most famous guests we've had on the show. And I'm super excited to introduce him. So Mike, how are you doing today?
Good, Brad. Thank you so much for having me.
So glad to have you on. There's so much I want to talk to you about. Your Profit First, your business books have been so instrumental in motivating me that I just couldn't wait to get you on the show. So a couple of things we want to talk about is we want to talk about what is Profit First. I mean, kind of talk about your books and what you do. And imagine you're introducing yourself to my peers, other property management company entrepreneurs.
Yeah. So a little bit about my background.
Yeah.
I'm an entrepreneur first and foremost. Became an author though about 10 years ago and now have devoted my full-time endeavors there. I still own multiple businesses, but started off as an entrepreneur. And how I became an author was I had built these companies, but never was successful running them. I thought I was, but as I was building the companies, they weren't profitable. I was stressed for time. I was exhausted. I would always have to run in like a superhero and save the business from a fire here and a disaster there. And one particular day, I realized, even though I thought I knew everything about entrepreneurship, I knew nothing. And I started journaling. I just started writing things down saying, I thought, you know, I knew about profitability, but I don't. I thought I knew how to grow a business organically, but I don't. And started writing these thoughts down and then started to research out the solutions for myself. Well, as I started to find solutions that work for my own business, I discovered these are the exact same solutions that I think a lot of entrepreneurs need. So that's how I became an author. That's how I did the work I'm doing now. And today, like I said, I'm a full-time author who also has the blessing of running and owning a few businesses too.
Yeah, let's kind of talk about the Profit First in itself, because I think that's going to be one of the most poignant books for what we do. And let me tell you kind of a background. So we're like most entrepreneurs in this business. We get going, we start a business, we start getting staff, we pay ourselves as owners, entrepreneurs, which all kinds of, you know, bleeds into all kinds of weirdness because you're paying yourself owner draws, you're paying for your trucks, you're paying for your cars. I mean, it's just, it's weirdness. And so one of the things that we kind of got messed up on, I'm not messed up, but I'm trying to think of the right word to where this is going to be a situation to where we're implementing the Profit First, and it's going to reveal all the things that are going on behind the scenes of our accounting that's going to basically pinpoint what could be in a different section or what does need to be in a different section. Because what struck true, and this is with a lot of people in my industry, is I show the numbers on paper, right? You're X percent right. profitable. But then you go to the bank account and you're like, wait a minute, it's not there. You said this exactly in your book. So that's what I wanted, you know, you to start talking about is those types of scenarios.
It's funny. What you just shared, Brad, is so common. I've experienced that too. And it's a weird moment. So I went to my accountant, this is about 10 years ago, before I started doing Profit First for myself. And my accountant did exactly what you said. He showed my income statement for the year He went to the bottom and he circled, I remember with the big red pen, he circled the profit. And he said, "Hey, Mike, congratulations. Good year. You had $15,000 of profit." And I looked at him and for a second, my heart like started bumping fast. I'm like, "Yeah, great." And then I looked at him and said, "Hey, Keith, where is that profit?" And then he starts laughing. He's like, he goes, "It's an accounting profit. You don't have it. You already spent all the money. It's gone." And it just kind of knocked me over. The definition you and I have as entrepreneurs of what profit is cash in our hand. Literally at the end of the year, if there's a profit, that is cash left over for me to take out of the business as a reward. So that was also kind of an eye-opener in why I wrote Profit First. Let's get right into some of the basic principles that I think people watching right now can use to literally make your business permanently profitable in today, like in the next moment. And here's what you do. The foundational understanding you have to have is that we have been taught that profit comes last. We use terms like it's the bottom line or the year end. And the formula we use is sales is what we have to run the business off of. You have to generate income. You subtract out expenses, and then what's left over is profit. And you know, logically, Brad, it makes total sense. Sales is how you grow the business. Expenses sustain the business. And then if there's anything left over, that goes to you. Here's the problem. While logically it makes sense, from a behavioral standpoint, how it is for human nature, when something is last, when something is the bottom line, so to speak, we're basically saying it can wait. We focus on the top of the formula. Most businesses, I bet you most of the property managers watching right now, are like, I got to sell more. I got to manage more facilities, more, more, more. And I need to grow. I need to put money in this business. I need more equipment. I need more cars. I need more of this. I need more of that. And we keep on selling more and spending more, but there's never profit left over. The great irony is there's an estimate out there. We're actually not going to be conducting our own internal survey, but there was a survey conducted in part, as I understand, by the SBA and other entities that identified 83% of small businesses. That's companies that do $25 million in annual revenue or less. 83% of businesses are surviving check by check. Every time a sale comes in, it immediately goes to pay expenses. There's nothing left over. Well, we have to understand the foundational formula we've been told to use is totally wrong. Sales minus expenses doesn't equal profit on an execution basis. I mean, logically makes sense, but 83% of businesses can't pull it off. What we need to do, and I explain this in Profit First, is sales minus profit equals expenses. It's, you know, if you look at the math, I'm just swapping two variables. I'm just flipping the formula over and nothing changes from a logical standpoint, but the impact on a behavioral basis is extraordinary. When we take our profit first now, sales come in, we immediately take a predetermined percentage, 5 or 10 or 15 or whatever number is, a predetermined percentage of money from the sales, allocate it to profit, literally set an account, transfer the money into that account, and then run our business off the remainder, the change is prolific. You are now literally taking your profit first. You are forcing permanent profitability in your business because every transaction now you address profit. Just to kind of summarize this, I guarantee anyone watching right now, if you had a health scare and went to the doctor's office and your doctor looks at you and says, "You got to change things. No more smoking, no more drinking, no more, you know, eating those sugars. You've got to change things immediately or you're going to die." You won't come out of the doctor's office saying, "Oh my God, starting today, I'm going to put my health last." Of course not. Last means it's deprioritized, insignificant. What you do say is, starting today, I'm going to put my health first. That's the golden lesson here. We've been told, we've been trained that profit comes last. It doesn't. It can't. That means it's deprioritized. Mm-hmm. Every transaction, take your profit first and you assure permanent profitability.
Love it. Love it. I'm a real red meat guy, so I'm going to dive into some of the stuff that we're doing now to offer this to our listeners and our watchers. Myself and another gentleman out of Phoenix, name is Tim Melton. He's a fellow alumni. He's another property management company owner, and we've become profit first buddies, right? We're accountable buddies. Perfect. So we've been talking at least once a week. So, okay, what are you doing to implement this? So some of the basics are you create separate accounts, yep. And that's where you can move certain things to identify what's going on. So let's say you create an owner draw account is what we did. Now, one of the things that you talk about in your book, and I love the audio book because it was super entertaining. You know, it wasn't dry. It was very well spoken. And I just really love the audio book. And it talks about it in there. So it's definitely a must to listen. I'm a big fan of the Mobile University, MU. you know, where you get into your car and you listen to something. I think,
yeah.
Love big it. Fan of that. But where I was going with this is you can't start off with just like, hey, I'm making 25% profit. So I'm going to put 25% of X, the revenue, into that account, no matter what, hell or high water, it's going in there. I think that's a dangerous way to get yourself mixed up to where, as you mentioned in your book, you want to start off slow. What I've started to do is like, okay, here's my monthly nut. This is what I got to have every month to cover my home, cover my bills, you know, pay for the dog food, right? For Daisy.
Right.
And this is what I got to have. And then I have to figure out, where is that in line with my revenue? Is it 5%, 10%, 12%, 40%? So that's where you're figuring it out and say, okay, you're starting slow. So if on paper you're making, let's use round figures and generic figures. Let's say you're making 20% profit on paper. To put into that owner draw account, you may want to only go 12% at first just to see where that is. And then scale that up every month to where you're getting to a point where what you should be making in profit is actually what you're putting into the owner draw account.
Yeah. So this is a system that's not brand new. Like I didn't invent something here and say, oh, here's something we should try out flippantly. This is a system that's been around for hundreds of centuries, or dozens of centuries for sure. It's called the envelope system. It's been around since BC. And what the envelope system is when money comes into our business, we first pre-allocate money to different purposes. And this is the envelope system has been used in our personal lives. So if I was doing this to run my house, there are little physical envelopes. I would cash in my check, put a portion of money into the food, portion of money into the rent, portion of the money to give back to the community, portion of the money for my own emergencies. And when I go food shopping, I grab the food envelope and I only shop with what's in there. So it predetermines what the money's use is. To your point, if we put too big of a piece into the profit envelope from the get-go, it will deplete the money available for something else. And what's going to happen is when we go food shopping, if you will, and there's not enough money in there, we'll say, well, let me just kind of take it from the profit account just for now. And what that does is it unwinds the system. Mm-hmm. So what we want to do is start slow, build our profit percentage. Start off at, if you have not had any historical profit, which by the way, a lot of businesses on a cash basis have not. Maybe their income statement shows a profit account, but when it came to the end of the year, did they give themselves a bonus? Most businesses did not. So therefore, you had zero cash profit at the end of the year. Now, let's start off slow. Let's start off with only 1 or 2%. Do that for a short period of time, like a quarter or two, and then go to 3%, and then 4%, and then keep on bumping up every quarter. The analogy I love to use is getting physically fit, because there's a lot of parallels between physical fitness and fiscal fitness. And specifically, a lot of people want to get cardiovascularly fit. That's important to my health. When someone's looking to get physically fit and cardiovascularly fit, they're given the standard regimen, which is roughly, if you can run 3 miles 3 days a week, you'll achieve cardiovascular fit. Well, if you haven't run before, and all of a sudden your first day, you start running 3 miles and you try to do it 3 times a week, you are going to injure yourself. You're going to be exhausted and you're going to give up on it. It's too much too soon. The better way to run 3 miles 3 days a week is, if you haven't run before or in a long time, simply stretch. Just stretch for the first day. Maybe the first week is all about stretching. You do nothing else. The second week is stretching and going for now long walks. Maybe go for a mile walk. Build that muscle and build your way there. And those long walks may come to short jogs. And maybe 6 months later, you're running 3 miles 3 days a week. But if you start that abruptly, it will hurt you and injure you. The antidote here translates to our business. If we go to this profit percentage, say, I want to hit 25% profit, we set up a profit account, an envelope, we start transferring 25% of all our income in there, and then we look at the stack of bills and can't pay them, there's the jolt, we panic, we pull from profit, and we defeat the system, we injure our business.
Yeah, that's exactly what we did not want to do. And one of the interesting dynamics of what we do is we have two different facets of management. So we have a property management system that's going to manage all the homes that we have, but then we have a maintenance company. And a lot of my peers have maintenance companies off to the side. And one of the things is our maintenance company that does all the maintenance for the management side, as you can imagine, they go hand in hand. It's very difficult to tell if your management company is making money off of maintenance or if your maintenance company is making money off of management. So we've separated both, right? Two different LLCs. You have a management company, which we're doing profit first. And I can't forget to mention the IRS account. You know, don't forget to build that in there. And that's one of the things you stress in your book, which I really agree with, is make sure you segment off a piece for the IRS and then make those quarterly payments. And then also on the maintenance side, that's where we had a little bit of trouble. And this is going to be a beautiful thing because maintenance, typically, if you can run a 5%, 10% profit at a scale that we are at, you're doing good, right? Property management side should be running 20 to 25, even 30% or more profit margin. So you got the two things that go hand in hand. You can't get rid of one or the other. So essentially where I'm going with this is we did double the work, right? So we set up a system for the maintenance side and set up a system for management. Now, let's go back in parallel to your running analogy. I just didn't jump into this one day. I sat down and wrote up, you know, a Word document that says, okay, we're going to do this, 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 and this.
Smart.
I brought it to my bookkeepers. I said, what do you guys think? I brought it to my CPA. I said, what do you guys think? I brought it to my GM. I traded ideas with my accountability partner, Mr. Melton out of Phoenix, as I mentioned. So we've gotten to the point where we have a plan and we're implementing that now, but it wasn't just like you said, jump in. Hey, I walk in one day. We're going to do this envelope system that I heard about on a book that I listened to for a couple hours. And
right.
You know, people look at you like, what are you talking about?
Right.
Because in the end of the day, you're kind of shuffling money. But what it does is it reveals the holes in the bucket.
You know, it forces hard conversations up front. First of all, I want to commend that you've recognized you have two businesses going on here. You've broken them into two parts. Some businesses, I actually worked with a company that shuttles executive jets. So they take executives, they have some jets, and they race them around. So they fly the jets, they repair and maintain the jets, they house those jets, they actually lease out space for other people to have their jets. And they ran as one business and they tried to do profit first. And they said, yeah, we're profitable, which was true, but they didn't know what part was profitable. So what we did is we evaluated each business and we set profit first for each business. We found out actually only one business was profitable, which was the shuttling of executives around. The maintenance, they were actually losing ridiculous amounts of money on it, but didn't know. The warehousing or the leasing of property to store these jets was barely break even. So when you evaluate these businesses differently, separately, you put their own unique envelopes for each one, it shows you how profitable you are. The other thing is it forces hard conversations today because we have to understand what we're doing is reverse engineering profit for our business. When I meet any entrepreneur, I just got back from a tour of Latin America literally 2 days ago. I'm about to take off again to South America, and then I'm doing a tour of the US and then back to Europe, all on profit first. And what I find out consistently is when I ask entrepreneurs, how are they doing? They say, well, okay, surviving check by check. But once they implement profit first, what they're doing is they're now reverse engineering profitability, and they see how they have to achieve the target profit numbers they have. Because in these conversations I have with them, I say, well, you're doing okay. What does that mean? Well, I'm kind of getting by. What kind of profit target do you have? They say, our real goal here is to have a 10% bottom line, cash bottom line. I say, okay, if that's our real goal, let's allocate as money comes in 10% to profit. Because now we're taking what you've committed for yourself. And what happens is now the business tells you, here's all that's left to run your business, the remaining 90%. You have to run the business off that. We are reverse engineering our way in to profitability. So that's what you're doing. When you take your profit first, if you can't afford to pay your bills with remainders, that's your business telling you you're in no position to sustain those bills. We have to cut costs and increase margin. Those conversations, the funny thing is, those conversations will come about, but usually way down the road. We play this game of kick the can down the road of profit. You know, we aren't profitable now. We're like, well, maybe next month, maybe next year. And we keep on trying to grow our way into profit. It doesn't happen. One day, as you incur more expenses, you rack up credit card debt, you take loans to the bank. Over time, it swells and it shrinks a little bit, swells and shrinks. But it's like cancer. It never goes away. It just keeps growing. Then the day comes, you have to face the truth and say, I can't borrow anymore. I'm stretched out. So once we implement profit first today, it's going to force hard conversations today. How do you cut those costs to sustain the profit you want? How do you increase margins to sustain the profit you want? Hard questions today is better than facing no alternatives in the future.
This episode of the Property Management Mastermind Show is sponsored by Mark Cunningham of Grace Property Management. Now, Mark has created some amazing products for property management companies. We have implemented his systems and his business income streams into our business here, and I can personally recommend them. If you are in the property management business, I encourage you to visit their website, as you will definitely find a product that will improve your business. I know Mark personally, and just a small investment to pick up one of his golden nuggets could earn you a return many times over. To learn more, go to propertymanagementsystem.org. Again, propertymanagementsystem.org. And to get a 10% discount on all of Mark's products, use the promo code BRAD, B-R-A-D. Hello, everyone. Brad Larson here. I want to drop you a quick note about the new Max Grow products on our website. And this is all intended to grow your property management business. Authored by Steve Rosenberg and Pete Neubig out of Houston, one of the fastest growing property management companies around, these guys have put it all in documentation, all on video, all on Excel, all on Word, in formats that you can pick up and use. So definitely check that out on our website. It's called the Max Grow series.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit more about Mike. So Mike, you've got a podcast show going on, which I've subscribed to and I started to listen to, and I really like it. It's very entertaining. You know, mine's kind of dry. You know, we're not out here making jokes and fun of each other. You guys are doing that, and it's very entertaining. So I'd encourage everybody to listen to your show. Let's talk about a little bit about that, the podcast show.
Yeah, so I have a podcast called the Profit First Podcast. It's all about profitability. But one thing that's interesting is when we started that show, we looked at successful radio shows, because that's where podcasts are going. It's replacing radio in its entirety. And we looked at it and said, these morning zoo radio shows are a big success. It gives you kind of some juice in the morning when you listen in, and it's some fun, but you're also learning or experiencing stuff or listening to music. So for us, we said that that's who we are. First of all, it's authentically my style. I'm a little bit goofy. I like to joke around. I like to have fun, and I like to hit serious topics, but I'm not all serious all the time. So we have a show. There's three of us on the show that run it. We bring on a guest, but we always talk about different angles of profit. A business that's struggling now, and we kind of coach them through it. A business that's been wildly successful. What did they learn? How did they do it? Experts in different industries. You know, an expert in gyms and making gyms profitable has come on our show and taught us how do you make a gym profitable, which ironically, a lot of it translates to property management. So it's all these different perspectives, high energy. And I think every show you walk away with yet another tool in the toolbox to drive profit in your business.
That's interesting. You mentioned podcasts replacing radio. That actually could be more of the truth, because I think radio, especially talk radio, it gets me more upset than happy sometimes. But and it's not, it's all over the place, versus a podcast can be very narrow focused to what you want to listen to with limited commercial interruption in there. And it's actually some entertainment. And the cool thing is, if you really want to be the high speed person, you can go 1.25 or 1.5. You can listen to it on, you know, 1.5 speed.
I love that. I love that. And the thing is, you know, what I'm noticing the trend now is the devices. So if you have a radio, traditional radio, AM, FM radio, you're going to get radio shows. But now with the rise of Alexa from Google, from Amazon, Google's Home, whatever, those systems are channeling podcast, all different resources. And I think it's going to eradicate radio.
Yeah. So one of the things that you should also talk about is you are quite the speaker. So you're doing some speaking gigs across the country, internationally. I want you to talk what you're doing in San Antonio, ironically, in May with Dave Ramsey. Talk to us about that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I can't wait. So, I travel constantly speaking about Profit First. To me, it's the definition of my life's purpose is to share this strategy. So live presentations, I told you, I just got back from Latin America, mostly I was in Central America and a little bit of Mexico, talking on Profit First. Dave Ramsey, he and his team reached out to me about a year ago and said, we love Profit First. We think it's the perfect complement to the teachings that Dave has in personal finance. Why don't you come down to our offices? So I flew down to Nashville now on multiple occasions, spent some time with their team there. And then they invited me to Entree Leadership last year, put me in the front row. And they said, you know, watch our event, because we want you speaking here next year. And I saw Simon Sinek, Lou Holtz presenting up there. And now next year, I'm going to be speaking down there all on Profit First. And the beautiful thing is, we now have, this is an estimate, it's actually pessimistic, at least 50,000 businesses globally that are doing Profit First. Which, when I hear that number, the first thing is like, wow, that 50,000 businesses, that's a lot of businesses. But then I realized there's 128 million small businesses in the world. We haven't even scratched the surface with this. And those businesses, I think, have permanently changed for the better. They're permanently profitable. I'm hoping at Dave's event at Entree Leadership that, you know, there's a good 1,000, 2,000 people show up there, that we make yet another dent in making businesses permanently profitable.
Yeah, I'm going to post that to our seminar page on our website so everybody can see it.
Thank you.
Because I think that's a good seminar that somebody may want to attend. It's always a good thing to see what else is out there, because oftentimes in my industry, we get our blinders on to where we just focus on the two or three conferences that pop up per year, and that's all we ever attend. It's good to kind of see what else is out there to get a broader perspective of what's going on in the business world, which leads me nicely into, I want you to talk about the Entrepreneur Organization, EO.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know you're applying for EO membership. I didn't tell you this off air, but I am an EO member. I joined EO back 18 years ago. We used to call it YEO, by the way. The Y stood for Young Entrepreneurs Organization. And then we started getting this stuff. I don't know if you can see the gray hair coming in. But as gray hair started to settle in, the beard, right? as the gray hair started to come in, and someone had the great idea and said, why do we call ourselves YEO? We really should be called the EO and ditch the Y. What YEO, what now EO is a peer-to-peer member support organization specifically for entrepreneurs. The founder, the guy's name is Vern Harnish, had an epiphany that most people don't get us. The funny thing is, the day you decide I'm starting a property management firm, the day you decide to become an entrepreneur, all of your friends think you're super rich and you sit, you know, by the beach all day drinking margaritas. When the reality is, we're often super poor and we are dying to make money. We're stressed beyond belief. Well, EO gets together a group of people who get you, fellow entrepreneurs, but they're all in disparate industries. So when I join EO, they call it the forum, the group that I participate in and work with on a monthly basis are non-competitors. I have a guy in the pharmacy industry. I have a guy that actually extracts gold from dirt and from water and stuff. There's another guy who is in the construction space, for example. Another guy makes lacrosse helmets, women's lacrosse helmets. So they're very diverse. You meet on a monthly basis and you go through a training process on how to share and learn from each other. The traditional environments in a brainstorm is called the you should. You know, you should do this, you should do that. Here's what you should do. And those often fall flat because I'm getting advice that, A, first of all, I didn't solicit. Secondly, when someone's telling me what I should do, my mind subconsciously goes, well, you don't know anything about me. How are you telling me what I should do? And I actually resist advice. Even if it could be good advice, I still resist it. So EO uses a protocol, they call it Gestalt, a protocol where we can share knowledge without having a subconscious resistance, just by sharing experiences. And I can attest this, you know, being 18 years, the most impactful thing I've done in my life for business and for my personal life, besides getting married to my wife, is joining EO. I have a group of confidants. They happen to be all guys, but EO is a men's and women's organization. My group happens to be all guys. These guys are better friends than my friends. These guys literally will take a bullet for me and I would do the same for them. It is the ultimate support group. And I do also want to particularly acknowledge guys. I think a lot of women are very good at building social networks where they have outlets to talk about life. I think men in general are not so good at it. I know I'm really bad at that, but this group forces that. And it's been very therapeutic for some of my biggest business challenges and some of my biggest life challenges.
I love it. That's very encouraging for what should be looked into for all property management company owners is getting into that organization. Because at the end of the day, we're still entrepreneurs and need that support group. And so one of the things I wanted to bring up now is tell us what some of your other products and some of your other seminars and other things, your books, tell us about some of that stuff that can relate specifically to us. I want you to kind of talk about more of what you do that we should be looking at as far as Mike and what his Profit First systems are looking for.
Yeah. So it's interesting. So someone came to me. So I've written multiple books. You can see I have them kind of strategically positioned here as a great marketing technique. Wah-wah. But here's what's interesting. People come to me and they go, Mike, which book of yours should I read next? Which one should I read? And my answer sometimes isn't necessarily even reading my next book or any of my books. I always respond to the question, and I think everyone needs to think about this. In your business today, what is the biggest challenge you're facing? What's the biggest roadblock to your next level of growth? If you are struggling check by check and not profitable, Profit First is the answer. No question about it. But perhaps you're sustaining well enough profitably, but you're struggling growing organically. Well, I wrote another book called The Pumpkin Plan, right there, The Pumpkin Plan, which is about position yourself for organic growth. Maybe you want to catch market momentum. That's what surge is about. Maybe you're actually at the early stages of business, and that's what the toilet paper entrepreneur is about. But maybe your business, your challenge is in recruiting employees. You need great employees, and you're having a tough time finding them. I don't have those books, but someone else does. Identify your problem and then research out what's the best solutions out there for it. And I always believe books are usually the best. You can't beat the value. You know, you drop $20-$22 on a book. You have the authors, all of their knowledge is put in there. Everything is in the books. So that's available. If you're a fan, perhaps of Profit First or my other stuff, and you want to take it to the next level, what I did, which I think is kind of unique, is developed a program that links all of these books together to be very fluid, plus other knowledge, other stuff I've researched out, which I haven't written a book for yet, and probably won't write for years, but it's highly relevant techniques. I wrote about a concept called the Pareto overlap. A lot of people are familiar with the Pareto principle, the 80-20 rule, but they're not aware of the application of the Pareto overlap, where multiple overlaps happen and they pinpoint where there's opportunity in your business. I talk about bottlenecks and QBRs, which is called queen bee role efficiencies, ways to make businesses go extremely fluid. All that stuff I'm worked on, but I haven't written a book about yet. I use that stuff plus this stuff and linked it together in a program I did to get access to it. What you do is you go to my website, which is mikemikalowicz.com, and you'll see in the top right, there's a campaign going on for the new year right now. There's a big firework that kind of blows off. You'll see it up there. Just click on that. By the way, when you do that, you'll get free access to Surge, the entire book. You don't even have to buy it. And then once you get the free book, you can sign up for that program and participate in it. So that's some of the things I have out there.
Excellent stuff. I appreciate that, because we wanted to see what else you can offer us, because at least with me, I listened to the book. I started implementing things. I'm starting to wonder, what else can I be doing?
One more thing, I totally forgot, but perhaps it's also important, is some people, once they read the book of Profit First, even though they get it conceptually, they're still overwhelmed with the execution. I did start a company. We call ourselves Profit First Professionals, more of an organization than a company. We have 250 plus members. These are accountants and bookkeepers and coaches who've become certified in the Profit First methodology, who go out to different industries, property management included, and help you implement Profit First fully and hold you accountable to rolling it out for the lifetime of using it. And if you want access to that, the website's called Profit First Professionals. You can just Google Profit First Professionals, and you go to profitfirstprofessionals.com, click on Find a Profit First Professional. Our team here will go out and research and find you an expert to help you out.
Excellent. And you even do a seminar once a year, is that correct? Or a conference?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We have our own conference. Wow, you're good. Yeah. So we have an annual conference called ProfitCon, which is, I think, the only conference in the world, shockingly, that's dedicated to profitability. So ProfitCon is our annual conference in Morristown, New Jersey, where we're having it this year. It happens in late September.
Fabulous, sunny New Jersey. Can't wait to go.
People love coming to New Jersey.
Awesome stuff so far. I'm almost like running out of questions. My mind is spinning 10 different ways on what I got to do next. You know, part of me wants to conduct this podcast to get more questions answered, but the other part of me is like, let's get done so I can go do some of this stuff. You know?
Oh, yeah, I love it. I love it. I love it.
That's how the mind works. But this has been a great episode. I really appreciate your time. Any other things that you can kind of throw at us that might be pertinent to what we do?
Yeah. I'll give you a couple more things before we wrap up for the day. The first thing I want to talk about is Profit First. We didn't even scratch the surface on the process. I mean, we gave you a few tidbits, saying multiple counts, it's the envelope system. Definitely, I encourage you to check out the book. But even if you don't check out the book, if you go to my website, which is mikemikalowicz.com, the resources section, I have a cheat sheet for Profit First. It's free. You don't even have to sign up or anything. You just download it. It's a one-page cheat sheet to getting started. Here's the essence of that cheat sheet. To be successful with Profit First, start slowly. We dedicated a lot of time to this. We talked about marathons and so forth. Here's something you can do literally today while you're watching this broadcast, or before the day's out today. There's no excuse not to do it. Call your existing bank. If you like your bank, keep working with them and set up one new savings account. It'll take you like 5 minutes and nickname it Profit. Right? That's step one. Step two, allocate 1% of your income to this Profit account. Every time a deposit comes in, just take 1%. $10,000 come in, I say take $100 and put in a Profit account. $1,000 comes in, take $10. The thing is, it's such a small amount of money that if you can run your business off of $10,000 deposits, you can run it off of $9,900. There'll be no impact. But you will start allocating money toward profit. And the magic's in that, because once you start allocating a small percentage of your income toward profit, you will start to see that profit account grow, and then your confidence will grow. And as your confidence grows, you'll go more and more all into this and become very profitable.
Let me interject too. We use Seacoast Commerce Bank, and that's a property management specific bank. And we crossed over to them. I did an episode about 4 or 5 months ago about that. That's been phenomenal. Allison has been super to work with over at Seacoast. So I would recommend any of the listeners that have a property management company to contact her to see if they're state specific, available to work in your state. That's been tremendous. And because we've done that, Mike, we've done exactly that. We've taken, you know, those two big companies I mentioned, and now we have like 5 or 6 accounts for each one.
Yeah.
And they were super great at helping us open all of those.
Awesome.
So what else can we talk about?
So the last tip is this that I have for you today. And it's in the idea of removing temptation. When it comes to profitability, too many businesses will start allocating money to a profit. They're implementing profit first. They'll see at their bank, whatever bank they're working with. And that moment will come where they panic and say, oh my gosh, I don't have enough money to pay my bills. And they'll stick their hands into the coffer. They'll pull that money out of the profit account. And that's when the whole system gets defeated. But remember, the goal here is to reverse engineer profitability. When you take your profit first, your business is telling you what it has to run off of. So if we stick our hands back in the profit coffers, we're defeating this. I found it very hard, actually near impossible for most people, myself in particular, to have money in front of me that's just sitting there available and not use it, even though I know I shouldn't. So what I encourage you is the second step with profit first is to remove temptation. As you allocate money toward profit, we then want to transfer that money to another bank. And the goal with the second bank is out of sight, out of mind. I don't want online banking. I don't want ATM cards. I don't want any easy access to the money. I want to transfer money to the second bank and let it sit there out of sight, out of mind. So then when I run my business off a day-to-day basis, I'm looking at my primary bank. I don't even see the profit there. When the money accumulates behind the scenes, you'll be blown away by how much money accumulates. It's basically a 401k. Employees know this. Once you take a 401k and if you don't look at the money, your lifestyle adjusts off the remainder that you have, you don't even notice. And then one day you look at your 401k account and there's thousands or tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars that have piled up in there. Same concept with profit. Don't let the profit sit in front of you. It's going to be too tempting. Transfer to a second bank, out of sight, out of mind, and then you've guaranteed profitability for your business.
That might be one of the best tips you've had along with some of the others, but that's going to be very poignant for me just because I'm going to be very tempted to see that and want to be like, oh, well, let's dump it here and let's dump it there. But yeah. Moving to a different bank, I think that's an excellent, excellent idea. You mentioned that in your book, but it just rang again as you start talking about it. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to set that up to where,
awesome.
You know, once we get going and fully get this thing implemented up and running, I'm not even going to see that necessarily. I'll have my general manager just push it into a different bank account in a different bank, and I won't even see it because, you know, I'm like everybody else. Oh, there it is. We got to spend it, you know. Awesome discussion, Mike. I really appreciate your time. This has been a fantastic episode. I look forward to working with you a little bit more in some of the other projects we talked about. Maybe even you'll be so nice to have me as a guest on your show.
Yeah, I'd love to.
So very cool. We're going to leave all the show notes on how we can reach you. But real quick, how can we reach you just in case we want to check you out from here?
Yeah, so MikeMikalowicz.com. Listen, I got the worst, hardest last name on the planet. I struggle spelling it too, so I get it. So two shortcuts. Go on Google and type in Mike, my first name. I know you know how to spell that. Hit the space bar and then type in Mick, M-I-C, and my name will drop down. The long Polish name is me. Here's the other shortcut. Go to Mike Motorbike. That was my nickname in high school. So if you type in MikeMotorbike.com, that will also forward you onto my website, and you can get all the resources, everything we talked about, for free, a lot of stuff for free at MikeMotorbike.com.
Awesome. Love it, Mike. Really appreciate your time. And let's stay in touch. All right. Take care.
Take care.
This has been a podcast episode by PropertyManagementProductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast, leave us feedback, and come back for our next episode.